Romans chapter 9. I have a very familiar portion of Scripture. Romans chapter 9, verse 13. We'll begin there. Romans 9, 13. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? What shall we say then? A lot of folks would have an objection to that statement, wouldn't they? What shall we say then? What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will. Now notice how many times here I want to emphasize what he says here, I will. I will. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will harden. Hardeneth. Now, when we go and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I mean by the term we, those who know the gospel of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, when we go and preach the gospel of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, we always desire and pray for at least these four things. And I'm sure your pastor would agree with what I'm about to say. The first and foremost is to honor and to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ in the preaching of the gospel. The apostle Paul said, I'm determined to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. And then again, he said, we preach not ourselves. You didn't come here this evening to hear about me, did you? I could say a lot about me, but you don't want to hear about me. I want to talk about Christ. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for his sake. So first and foremost, we come here this evening to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ by the way of preaching. God has ordained this to the salvation of his people. Secondly, when we go and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to honor him. And when we do so, he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw men unto me. And when Christ is lifted up in the preaching of the gospel, it incites in the hearts of the Lord's people a spirit of worship, doesn't it? Reverence in their heart. The Lord seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth. Now I know this, the Lord Jesus Christ is worthy of all honor, praise, glory, and blessing, both now and forever. He is worthy of every adoration of praise and glory that's due his great name. Thirdly, when we come and preach the gospel, it is our desire to feed the sheep of Christ, to feed the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember our Lord said to Peter, Peter, do you love me? Yea, Lord, you know. You remember what he said? Feed my sheep, feed my lambs. And then the Apostle Paul, when he departed from those elders there at Ephesus, he reminded them to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. What I have this evening is the word of God, and it is the children's bread. It is the sheep food for those who love and believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we go and preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, here's the fourth thing I thought of as I was thinking about the message this evening. We want to see the Lord bless his people with his word. We want to see the Lord bless his people with his truth and with his word. He said, my word will not return unto me void. It'll prosper whereunto I send it. And I pray the Lord will bless us this evening with his word, by his spirit. May we not hear in just word only. I want to hear that way, but I want to hear in the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Don't you? To hear a word from God, from the throne of God, by the Spirit of God, to your heart this evening, wouldn't that be something? Oh, I pray the Lord will bless us this evening and again in the next few days. And how about this? I thought about this too, Brother David, to see the Lord call out his elect with the word of God. Wouldn't that be something this evening, or maybe tomorrow, or the weeks to come, to see God move in such a way that he would call one out of darkness into that marvelous light, the glory of God that shines in the face of our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to call out his people, to call out his sheep. He said, my sheep, remember, they hear my voice. I know them, and they will follow me. Keep preaching Christ. We don't need to buttonhole and badger and bug people. Just keep lifting up Christ. Keep lifting up Christ. He'll draw them. He'll call them. He'll quicken them. And by and by, they'll let you know, the Lord's done something for me. The Lord's called me and made me a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are charged to go and preach the gospel. Gospel, that's the power of God unto salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here in Romans chapter 9, I'm entitling the message this evening, I want to emphasize this point of the will of God in salvation. The will of God is the eternal will of God. The will of God is the eternal decree of God that cannot be altered, that cannot be changed, cannot be determined to go another way. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. The Lord has taught us to pray, not my will, but Lord, thy will be done. I'm entitling the message, Free Will or Free Grace. Free will or free grace. Free will, salvation. Is it by the free will of man or by the free, sovereign will of Almighty God? Now, I want us to carefully consider this question. Is the salvation of a guilty sinner by the will of man or by the sovereign will and free grace of God? Or in other words, how does God justify the ungodly? How does God justify the ungodly? By the sinner's good works or deeds, or by the Lord's sovereign decree? By the sinner's decision, or by the Lord's decree? Salvation is always said in Scripture that salvation is of the Lord in its origination, in its execution, in its application, its sustaining power, and its ultimate perfection. I know what a lot of us have heard and even hear yet today in religious circles, not where the gospel is preached, but where the gospel is denied. We hear these clever sayings such as, God has given sinners a free will either to choose him and be saved or to reject him and be condemned. We often hear those things. I don't like to listen to those radio preachers or TV preachers, but sometimes I do just to see what they're saying. Or some have said this, God has done all he can do, now the rest is up to you. Well, if that be the case, this sinner has no hope. Or they may say something along this line, God wants to save you, but you won't let him. You won't let him have his way. Now, Brother Mahan used to have a name for that kind of God. He said, that's a peanut God. That's a God who is not God at all. Or they say this, they say man is a free moral agent and God will not interfere or violate the sinner's will. Now, my friend, if he doesn't violate your will, you're lost forever. God has to intervene. God has to stop us. God has to quicken us. God has to raise us from the dead and make us love him, make us believe him, make us come to him. The Bible does not teach those old fleshly fables of the sinner's will in the matter of salvation. The Bible does not promote what I call the lies of Satan to call out his people. God uses the truth to call out his people. Our Lord said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. God doesn't use, now think about this, God doesn't use lies to teach men the truth, does he? He can't. No lie is truth. It's either true or it's a lie. And my friend, salvation is by the true, sovereign grace of God alone. The salvation of sinners, as it's revealed throughout the Scriptures, is always by the free and sovereign grace of God. Noah found what? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The only grace that's taught in the Word of God is sovereign grace. Sovereign mercy, sovereign love. Salvation is always by the sovereign grace of God, by the will of God, through the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of my favorite scriptures I love to quote in Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace. I love that word freely. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in our Lord Jesus Christ. He redeemed us with his blood to enable God to be a just God and Savior, to enable God to be just and the justifier of the ungodly. It is obvious to God's people and to any honest person that God Almighty saves sinners by his will, not ours. His way, not our way. Listen to these scriptures. Of his own will, James 1:18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. With the word of truth. Again, he says, turn over here, if you will, to John chapter 1. You don't mind using your Bible, do you? God's sheep don't. Some of you have those iPads and you can click faster than I can turn. And that's okay. I don't mind that. It's still the Word of God, whatever means we find it in. But in John chapter 1, verse 11, he came into his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, that is fleshly inheritance, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Any sinner that believes the gospel of God does so because God willed it to be so. No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. He said, I've loved my people with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I'll draw them unto me. Aren't you glad that our God is almighty to draw us to himself and to cause us to love him? Thy people shall be willing in the day of his power. How does he make us willing to come to him? He makes himself irresistible. So much so that he shows us that he is altogether lovely and that we must have him. We must embrace him. You see, salvation's in a person. He that hath the Son hath life. Saving faith looks to the Lord Jesus Christ, looking unto him who is the author and finisher of our faith. You see, salvation, as it's taught in the Word of God, is always by the will of God, by the Word of God, by the way of God. What is the way? What is the way? Our Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, by the Lord Jesus Christ alone. You see, God our Savior saves sinners by his grace, not our works. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. It's God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Not according to our works, but according to God's own, I love these two words, purpose and grace. God saves sinners on purpose by his grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. Before I ever knew him, Gary, he knew me. He knew me. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Before I ever loved him, he loved me. You see, we love him only because he first loved us. God, our Savior, saves sinners not only by his will, but by his grace. God saves sinners by his choice. It's his choice. I can make good on that. Our Lord said in John 15, you didn't choose me, I've chosen you. You see, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God. Had God not chosen us in that eternal covenant of grace and given us to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is called the elect of God, we never would have called upon him. We never would have believed the gospel of God's saving grace. God, our Savior, saves sinners not only by his will, not only by his grace, not only by his choice. You see, he chose us. We are bound to give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation, whereunto he called you by our gospel. He called you by our gospel. He chose you unto salvation through that sanctifying work of God the Holy Spirit. What is that? That's regeneration. You only believe the gospel because God has raised you from the dead. You do not believe to be regenerated. You believe because God has given you life in Christ Jesus. God, our Savior, saves sinners by his righteousness. How much righteousness personally do you have? Those who are taught of God, I see some of you shaking your head. All of our righteousnesses, Isaiah said, are as filthy rags. There's none righteous, no, not one. You see, salvation cannot be by my righteousness. You remember what the Apostle Paul said of those Jews, that they went about to establish a righteousness of their own. He said, you are they who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your heart. That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. You see, my righteousness and my works and my will have nothing to do with my salvation. I mean, I can't emphasize that enough. Nothing. Negative. It's all by his will, his grace, his power, his blood, his righteousness. God our Savior saves sinners by his righteousness that's freely imputed. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, right? Romans 5:19. So by the obedience of another shall many be made righteous, right? In Christ. God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's why Paul said, I count everything else. I count everything else dung, loss, ruin, that I might win Christ and be found in him. He keeps emphasizing that to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's through his faithfulness, not yours. It's through his righteousness, not yours. Thank God he's given us a perfect righteousness, freely given unto us. And my friend, never think of that righteousness as a thing. It's a person. He's the Lord, our righteousness. That's what makes salvation so glorious to the believer. It's Christ who is made unto me wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that he that would glory, let him glory only in the Lord. I know your pastor's been going through the book of Galatians. Have you been to Galatians 6 here yet?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, I love that verse, the 14th. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love the glory in the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ didn't make an attempt to put away our sin. He didn't make an attempt. We call it an atonement. The Lord Jesus Christ by himself, with himself, when he had by himself purged our sin with his own blood. You see, it's all his righteousness. It's all his redeeming blood. I'm thinking about bringing a message maybe tomorrow or the next day from Romans, or rather Hebrews 9:26, where it says that he appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Did he get it done? Absolutely. He put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. We are redeemed not with the corruptible things, silver and gold, vain tradition, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's precious. You think about it. God bought the church with his own blood. I love to talk about the effectual redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ. His priestly work. How he entered in to the holy place, not made with hands, but into heaven itself, to obtain for us eternal redemption with his own blood. He bought us. And he's going to have us because he bought us. No one will perish for whom the Lord Jesus Christ died. That cannot be. I've said this for years, and I'm going to keep on saying it until somebody hears it. There's nobody in hell for whom the Lord Jesus Christ died. That cannot be. Call his name Jesus. He is what he's called. He's the Savior of his people. He didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save folks just like me. Folks just like you. Sinners. Amen. Sinners, Brother Murphy. Sinners. Sinners. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's our hope. My friend, you see, salvation, so then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. And I love this statement right here, but of God. That verse over in Ephesians chapter 2, you remember? Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even, Brother David, even when we were dead in trespasses and sin, hath quickened us together with the Lord Jesus Christ. But of God that showeth mercy. He will show mercy. He has to. He said, I will have mercy. Now, it's sovereign mercy. But he said, I will have mercy. He says, I will be their God and they shall be my people. That covenant language. And it cannot be changed. God our Savior saved sinners by his blood sacrifice, not by any sacrifice that we bring. What did you bring to the table? Nothing. I come as an empty-handed, dead, vile, guilty sinner, and I fall before the throne of God's sovereign grace as a mercy beggar. You remember Brother Roach used to say all the time, I'm a mercy beggar. That's me. God, have mercy on me, the sinner. That's what the publican prayed. And that prayer was answered. That man went down to his house, the Lord said, justified rather than the other. The old Pharisee bragged on himself and was condemned. The old publican condemned himself and was justified. That's grace. That's grace. That's the grace of God. God saved sinners by his performance, not ours. By his faithfulness, not ours. Just over there from Psalm 61 is Psalm 57, where it says that he's performed all things for us. The Lord Jesus Christ, salvation based upon his faithfulness, his performance, not ours. Not ours. That's good news, is it? Amen. That is good news. There's a scripture over here. I know David has read it to you, but turn over here to Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. I love to study through the book of Galatians because it just shuts out and hammers out any notion of being justified by the deeds of the law. I mean, there's a death nail that God the Holy Spirit just hammers and hammers and hammers. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. And then Paul says again, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. But salvation is by the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Did you see that? By the faith of Jesus Christ. You see, it's upon his obedience unto the law of God. Did he honor the law of God as a man, as a real man, as a representative man, as a federal head for his covenant people? Yes. Yes, he did. He said, I didn't come to destroy the law and the prophets. He came to honor the law and the prophets. You see, salvation is by his faithfulness, by his obedience. He honored the law of God perfectly for us as a representative man. How do I know that? God said he did. Isaiah 42:21, the Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. For his righteousness, he will magnify the law and make it honorable. In his life, he honored every precept of that law. You say, well, there's 10 of them. I beg your pardon. There's 800 of them. If you count all the precepts of that law, the Lord Jesus Christ honored every precept of that law in his obedience. He was obedient even unto death. He satisfied not only every precept of that law, and he did that as a representative man, as a public head for his people. Not only that, he satisfied the penalty of that law. What was the penalty of that law? Death. The guilty must die. The Lord Jesus Christ died for our sin according to the Scripture. Our sin was laid upon him. Our guilt was laid upon him. He bare our sin in his own body on the tree. He satisfied the very penalty of that law. Therefore, we read in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, where it said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. That's what happened at Calvary. What happened at Calvary? Substitution. What happened at Calvary? Satisfaction. The Lord Jesus Christ died, the just one for the unjust. Why did he do that? You know what the rest of that verse says? That he might bring us unto God. We can't come any other way but through Christ our substitute, who satisfied God on behalf of his people. That's what happened at Calvary. Look back at that verse again, Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ. That's the work of grace. Did you know that? To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we believe according to the working of his mighty power. It's not some decision that you make. Faith is called the precious gift of God. Faith is not something that's native to this wicked heart. Faith is the precious gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We believe according to the working of his mighty power, it says in Ephesians 1, verse 19. We believe according to the working of his mighty power. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That's what it says. 1 John 5:1. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ. That's a miracle. If you're sitting here this evening trusting the Lord Jesus Christ for all of your salvation, it's only because God has done that for you and in you by a miracle of his grace. That we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Do you see that? You know, some of the newer versions of Scripture will have changed that word of to in, and they've just taken the meaning out of that verse. Yeah. It's the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our hope. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Now, turn to one other scripture on that point there. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 is one of my favorite chapters. I guess all of them are probably my favorite chapters. My folks back in Kentucky, well, we went through the 150 Psalms, and I'd always say, well, I think this is my favorite one. And they've come to the conclusion that every one of them is my favorite ones. But this third chapter of Philippians, especially this ninth verse. Well, let's go back to verse 7. But what things were gained to me, Philippians 3, verse 7, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things. Here's this old proud Pharisee, Saul of Tarsus. You read the preceding verses, and he goes through his litany of his religious tradition and experience, and then he throws manure on it. And said, it's all but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God. And it's the righteousness that's of God that's revealed in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to the book of Romans. I know you know these things because your pastor has taught you these things over the years. And God, the Holy Spirit, has made it real to your heart and has brought you to love these things. But the righteousness that's revealed in the gospel is the righteousness that's of God in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 16, Romans 1. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. It's revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. Turn to Romans 3:20. Romans 3:20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God, that is Christ, my friend, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that salvation's in his hand, not in yours? Aren't you glad that salvation is by his decree, not anything you have done or said or brought or thought or your deeds, your doing? You see, salvation is not something you do, because salvation is something that's done. Well done. He said, it is finished. It is finished. So in conclusion, and I had an outline to go through, but I'm not gonna wear you out. That's a portion of the message that I intended to bring, but I'm gonna leave it with that. And so you come back. If I preach for another 30 minutes, you probably wouldn't come back tomorrow night. So we'll save the rest of that for tomorrow night. So you might think, well, I want to hear what the rest of that message is. Well, if you come back tomorrow night, you know what? I'm going to tell you the same thing. And when you come Sunday morning, I'm going to tell you the same message. Salvation's in Christ. Amen. Salvation's of the Lord. Salvation by his grace, by his will. May God cause you to rejoice in it, and may God make it so rich and real to your heart that, as old Brother Maurice Montgomery used to say, you remember, Brother David, hug up to the Lord Jesus Christ and don't let go. That's old country language, isn't it? But that's okay. That's okay. It works in Kentucky. It'll work here in Texas, too. Wherever we go and preach the gospel to God's people, doesn't matter if it's in California or Texas or New Jersey or Mexico, wherever it may be, God's people rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said. That's another scripture there in Philippians 3. We are the true Israel which worship God in the Spirit, that rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. Not mine, not yours, not any. Our confidence is in Christ. Amen. Thank you, brother.